The public is being asked to chip in for remedial work on a historic oil painting by Charles Blomfield of those iconic white terraces. It's held in the Alexander Turnbull Library Collection. And the crowdsourcing appeal is proving so successful that more campaigns are likely to follow. Blomfield made many paintings of what people called the eighth wonder of the world, the tourist attraction that was destroyed by the Tarawera eruption in 1886. Demand for his depictions of the pink and white terraces continued long after they had disappeared. This one was actually painted in 1891. The original campaign on the boosted platform sought around $5,000 to clean, fill and retouch the large oil painting. Now the target's been stretched to $12,000, allowing for important additional work. Behind the campaign is the Turnbull Endowment Trust. I spoke to its CEO, Paula McLaughlin, and also to the Alexander Turnbull Library's chief librarian, Chris CK.
Part of the challenge for us when we've got oil paintings that are particularly fragile, cracked, crumbling in some cases, from time to time we have to say, no, I'm sorry, we cannot send this on the road because it's just not stable. If a researcher comes in, yes, we can help them with that. We can take them into the stacks. So on occasion, we've had to decline loan requests because the works simply aren't stable for travelling.
Is there specific funding that the organisation gets to do remedial or restorative kind of work on them? Or is this why we're having this conversation now, that the money has to be found elsewhere?
Well, I think it's important to understand the nature of the Turnbull collections in relation to our drawings, paintings and prints. We have something like 120,000 artworks. Now, we categorise artwork. It could be on the back of a cigarette packet in the trenches that a soldier has done a doodle. For us, that's an artwork. Or it could be a massive oil painting. So 120,000 approximately artworks. Of that, less than 1,000 are framed oil paintings. The overwhelming majority are works on paper that are light fugitive that live in drawers. Now, I think a lot of people are fascinated by oil paintings, the gold gilt frames and things like that, and they lend themselves to popular exhibitions. So the shame of it is that we do have a small selection of these paintings. They're typically not shown, and when they are shown, they're not especially looking their best because they've come to us dirty or in a decrepit state. As a research library, our principal focus is to show people here it is, not so much to exhibit it in its full glory.
So this is where, I guess, the Endowment Trust, Paula, comes in. And I was really taken when I saw this, you know, going out to crowdfunding. I was a bit concerned in a way, saying, oh my goodness, can the library not look after its work? But Chris has just explained it's more complicated than that.
It is more complicated. We, as the Turnbull Endowment Trust, have an obligation, and in fact our reason for being is to support the Alexander Turnbull Library. I recently came to the library and realised the wealth and beauty of the oil works that are in the vaults and weren't able to be shared with other places around New Zealand, other institutions. So for me it was really important to open those doors as wide as we can, and that to me meant systematically, one by one, going through these paintings and attracting funding so we can bring them up to a standard where they can be shared. Chris mentioned remedial treatment, so we do fund remedial treatment to the painting. And then we would like to add a museum quality glaze called Optium, which would go over that, and then we would like to do remedial treatment to the frame. So it's a three-step approach to each individual work, and we've identified there's about 25 works that could go through this. So we've had a fantastic response from people to not only individually identifying works that they would like to do remedial treatment on, but also we then decided there were a number of people who wanted to add a little bit and weren't able to do the thousands of dollars, but $30, $50 here and there.
So this is where the crowdfunding
came in.
It's a big step, isn't it?
It has been a big step. Yeah. And, you know, it's an awful lot of organisation. It's an awful lot of putting it out there and seeing if people are interested. But the resounding result is that people are definitely interested in New Zealand's heritage.
Well, you hit the goal with ages to spare, and now you've got the stretch goal.
And the stretch is all about that glazing and about the frame. And in this case of the Blomfield that we're just talking about, beautiful work of the white terraces, the remedial treatment will bring that oil painting up to a fabulous standard. But without glazing, it's not then protected from further dirt and damage. And then the needs to be some stabilisation in the frame itself, and then it needs to be brought to its former glory. So,
and for this, we're talking about $12,000.
Yeah, I know, it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Sometimes the treatment needed on frames far exceeds the treatment that's needed on the painting.
Is that right?
Absolutely. And restoring or treating frames is a specialist skill in itself.
So why did you choose the Blomfield, and how significant a work is this?
Well, when the initial campaign was launched late last year, people gravitated towards the Blomfield paintings. We have several. And there was just something about the pink and the white terraces that resonated with people. And so we've got two individual donors that have, in a sense, adopted two Blomfield paintings. But we had a lot of people saying, well, you know, I don't have $5,000, but would $50 make a difference? And so then we hit upon the idea, well, here's an opportunity to crowdfund. So people with a little bit of spare cash in their pocket could contribute and make a difference. And it's really taken off.
It has.
It's a nice story behind this too. What do we know about Charles Blomfield? And also, I mean, he saw the terraces before they were destroyed. But the timing of this is quite interesting.
He had a bit of a license, if you like, with the locals to paint the terraces over and over and over again. There was a market for them at the time.
Quite so a massive tourist attraction, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes. So, you know, ask an art historian, but I'd venture to say there are potentially dozens, if not hundreds, of Blomfield paintings, different size, scale, dimensions, that he produced. They were a saleable item.
But he actually worked with the local iwi at the time to gain access to the terraces and to be shown through the terraces, and had a licence to reproduce that work. So, of course, then they blew up, 1886, and no one else was able to get that licence. So he continued to paint them repeatedly, as Chris was saying.
And long after they had disappeared, he was still painting.
So this one that we're talking about actually was dated 1891.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah, when I go up into the vaults, it's an absolute joy. It's a real pleasure. And there's such an array of fantastic works by famous and unidentified artists.
Oh, those unidentified ones are always interesting, aren't they?
Oh, fascinating. And one in particular, Marion Menzies Gibb, we think we know, but we don't for sure know who the artist is.
Well, we have photographs on the webpage, so Paula, we always have an argument here that our listeners know everything about everything.
So oh, well, you never know.
We'll get them to have a look online. Chris, what state is the Blomfield in? Because, I mean, we are, for the stretch goal, talking around about $12,000, but it can cost an awful lot more than that. So I'm thinking that perhaps the painting isn't in a disastrous state.
Absolutely
no holes
not.
In it or anything like that?
No. No. So it's moderately priced, if you like, in terms of the treatment that would be needed.
Is it more, even just the varnish, getting rid of a nasty varnish or smoke or something can be part of it?
It's, I'm not sure exactly what's required on this, but cleaning, certainly.
Certainly cleaning.
Okay.
And there is some crazing in the painting, in the paintwork itself, so that needs to be identified as it unfold.
So crazing is kind of where it's a bit cracked.
It is cracked. There are cracks in it. Whether we can bring those out is going to be down to the conservator who's doing the work. When we talk about a goal of the $12,000, we don't know what it's going to cost. So we have a stab in the dark, but our commitment is to get that painting
across the line. Well, that's because you never know, do you? Until you start delving into it.
It's like house restoration.
A lot of the paintings have been gifted to us over the years, and have been in people's homes. So sometimes they'll have this patina of nicotine staining or of soot because they've been on the mantelpiece over the fireplace, or a splattering of fly poo.
Oh.
So to remove a fly dot, It's quite a different process, and arguably easier, than to actually remove soot. Two different treatments completely, and that kind of is reflected in the price. It would be the cost.
And I think even the varnishing, even removing different types of varnish,
exactly.
you have to be very careful with that.
Absolutely.
And that can take experimentation.
Look, qualified and experienced conservators are in this genre of oil paintings are scientists. Hmm. They've all got science degrees, postgrads, and years of experience behind them. They need to know how the various chemicals will react and what's good for this and what's good for that. The other exciting thing here is that the technology is continuing to change. Where you're looking at technology that can look underneath the paint, which gives conservators a different sense of what to expect to find and then how to be ready to deal with it once they have uncovered certain things. So it is absolutely more of a science than an art. We're not interested in touching a painting up, per se.
No.
What we're interested in doing is presenting some of these works so that they can be gloriously on display beyond just their primary, for us, research function.
Well, I noticed that, Paula, in the phrasing on the page, that you're using that word, you know, remedial work, and we were just discussing that before we came to the microphone, that you're not trying to make it look like it's just come out of Charles's studio
No.
in 1891. It's accepting that a painting will have had a life, but just at least getting, say, the colours right or the crazing sorted, you know? So it is an old painting, but you're getting to see even the true colours must be a revelation.
We, as I mentioned, Marion Menzies-Gibb is in with the conservator at the moment, and we took an interim visit with her recently, and two-thirds of the painting remained untouched, and the right-hand side third panel suddenly revealed a beautiful curtain and the carving in the back of the chair and the table that sat next to her with the book that sat upon it. And, you know, this is just in one strip of the painting. And we can't wait to see what the rest is revealed. It's going to be beautiful. So, indeed, it's about bringing it back to its former glory, but not as when it came out of the studio.
So, given the success of this first, you know, effort, this first foray into crowdfunding, will you do more? Is it too soon to say?
We would like to do more, yes. We have 25 paintings that have been identified that need work. We would love nothing more than to slowly and systematically go through them. We are limited in the number that we can do in any period of time because of the lack of conservators that the library works with and trusts.
And the time it takes.
And the time it takes, yeah. Mm. We had Sarah Hillary who came down and assessed the 25 paintings in the first instance, and that gave us an idea and parameters to work to. So that's what we've based our numbers on, but actually getting the conservator in and looking behind the painting, as we said, and dismantling it from the frame, that's when you really start to get into the knowledge of what it's going to take to bring it up to that standard where it can be shared.
Chris, do you see any other good things to come from this, that people maybe give $50 or $20 and they feel an ownership and they, you know they're really excited about the project, and then you keep them in touch and then they see the finished thing? I mean, is this, I guess in an ideal world, maybe a big pot of money would come your way and you could do it that way, but are there benefits to working in this way with people?
There are two different categories here. One is where there's one painting and one family or individual has said, I have a connection with that painting. That's the one I want to be involved in. And the other one is more the crowdfunding approach, where it's $50 here, $100 there. In terms of the where one individual or a family have said, yes, that one, I know of another couple of Blomfields that individuals, families have said, that one, please. And it's because they've had an ancestor that worked at the Pink and White Terraces, and what they've wanted in the metatarsus when we do the record to acknowledge the family, they said, in memory of Auntie so-and-so, because Auntie so-and-so doesn't have a headstone, here's a permanent memorial to her of a place where her great-grandmother worked. I would never have picked that in advance. People find their own connections, and that's been marvellous. There really is are ways that New Zealanders can find personal connections to a lot of these artworks.
And this is another way of doing it, I guess, Paul.
It is another way of doing it. In fact, we had a lady came in yesterday to the vaults, and she saw one of the artworks, and it was her great-great-great-grandfather who had painted it. And she was very emotionally attached to this painting, having never seen it in her lifetime, but knew that it was in a safe place at the Alexander Turnbull Library. So, I mean, I'm very grateful to work with the Turnbull Endowment Trust to support the library. It's a real privilege.
Paula McLaughlin from the Turnbull Endowment Trust and Chris C.K., the Alexander Turnbull Library's Chief Librarian. Photographs of the Blomfield painting and also the remedial work now being carried out on the Marion Menzies Gibb portrait that was mentioned are all on our webpage, rnz.co.nz/standingroomonly. Maybe you can help the library to identify the portrait's artist.